This is the opening kickoff on the country's first FM all-sports radio station, 105.5 FM WNSP and WNSP.com. The latest sports, news, traffic, weather, and timely guests with Mark Heim and Lee Shermanian. The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, here we are, 8:05, hour number three on this Friday edition. Thanks for hanging with us. It's the opening kickoff. Mark and Lee right here on the sports station WNSP.
All right, Gilbert, congratulations. You got the Chick-fil-A question. The answer, Texas, are the last team besides Georgia to hold all opponents under 17 or less points. Talking about Georgia, Dan Matthews. He is the producer of the Chuck Oliver Show, 680 The Fan. Dan taking time from his busy schedule to join us. Dan, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Has the atmosphere for Georgia and Alabama fans increased the population of Atlanta yet?
Yeah. I mean, like we need more people here on our roadways and causing more traffic. I think that obviously it's going to be a very popular ticket, and obviously going from the website TickPick, they say that 68% of them are going to be Georgia fans. So I guess if nothing else, it's going to be a short drive for a lot of people.
Anything come out of the press conferences in particular? I know yesterday the two head coaches and Greg Sankey were available.
I think if nothing else, it was Nick Saban just doting on the Georgia team. I mean, he earlier in the week called them a complete team, and he continued that same theme yesterday and talking about what they do offensively with Stetson Bennett as opposed to JT Daniels. I thought that was pretty interesting, too, where he just said, no, they run the same offense, and Stetson Bennett's able to move around and able to find guys down the field. I think that's something, too. That was pretty interesting. So, I was pretty interested to also find out, just how Nick Saban and Kirby Smart still feel about each other. And it seems like there's a mutual admiration society there. So, all those things I thought were pretty interesting yesterday.
Like to get your take on the game. I mean, you follow Georgia very closely up there, and I'm sure you follow Alabama just as closely also, and you talk to a lot of people. What's your feeling about the game tomorrow?
Well, I think that it's obviously there's more questions about Alabama than there are about Georgia, because I think that there's kind of a feeling, especially too, Vegas would tell you that the favoritism is on Georgia's side with 6.5. So, I think with Alabama, it's, how efficient can you be offensively? Can you protect Bryce Young? Can you find shots down the field? I think all those things need to be answered in this game. And then, defensively for them, it's can you be able to get to Stetson Bennett? And can you be able to make sure that Georgia is pretty limited offensively? I think that all those things are questions in this game. But, it's also, too, we talked with Drew DeArmond of, ESPN Huntsville earlier this week, and he's somebody that we normally have on a lot to talk about Alabama. And it's just something that really stuck with us, where he said, if Alabama can do this, 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 and this, where he listed off the many different things, but then he ended it with, that just seems like a lot for them to be able to win this game. So, for the first time ever, it does kind of seem like that the advantage is solely on Georgia, and if Georgia is able to do what they've done all season long, then they're going to win this game. I mean, I did an interview last night with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, and he brought up an interesting point where he said, it's kind of like almost if Georgia plays their worst game of the season, then that's how they lose. But, it's also, too, where, if you're a Georgia fan, you look at the team and say, gosh, why would you pick this one to play your worst game of the year when you're so close to reaching the ultimate goal?
Has Georgia faced a quarterback the caliber of Bryce Young?
No, they have not. And that's the other thing, too. Like I said, talking with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC last night, he brought up the point where they didn't face the top four quarterbacks. They didn't face him. They didn't face Will Rogers. They didn't face Max Johnson. And I'm trying to think who the other one was.
Corral? But,
No, I mean, I think the closest one they played this year was probably Hendon Hooker. I know that that was brought up yesterday too on the conference call with Kirby Smart about just what can you take from facing Tennessee's quarterback and bring over to this game. So no, they haven't. I mean, he's a Heisman favorite for a reason. He's played amazing football this season, and he himself willed that team to a win last week against Auburn, the Iron Bowl. So that's going to be an interesting challenge, and I think it's also, too, a challenge for this team that they are pretty interested in taking on.
Dan Matthews, our guest here on WNSP, the executive producer for the Chuck Oliver Show, which you can hear daily right here on WNSP starting at 1. Follow Dan on Twitter, at DanMatthewsATL. So from the cheap seats, Dan, looking at Georgia, I feel like this year is different than in past years with facing Alabama, right? I think if you believe in that kind of thing in past years, they felt like, I don't know, that those Alabama ghosts are kind of haunting them a little bit. I just feel like this year is different. I think they're going in confident and not worried about that type of thing, right? You know how every once in a while you get a team that gets a little skittish because they're playing that other team that because it hasn't gone well against. I just don't feel like that's an issue this year. First, one, has that ever kind of been lingering over Georgia? And two, is it different this year?
Yeah, I mean, the second part I definitely truly believe is the case, Mark. I mean, I think that this is a truly elite defense because in the past I'd always heard good defense, and I said, how? You don't get to the quarterback and you don't get turnovers. This team does, and I think that that's definitely something that you have to look at. This is also, too, a special teams unit that's been able to block a couple of kicks and block a couple of punts this year, so that's something else that helps this team. And in a game like this, it's going to really be something that can help them tomorrow. So, you know, it's one of those things that last week you saw how Alabama struggled in being able to protect Bryce Young against Auburn. Nothing against Auburn, but their defensive front is not Georgia's. Georgia's defensive front has been able to do those two things that I talked about, an elite defense being able to do. So I think that it is a little bit different this year because I think if you're able to do that, that truly gives you an opportunity to be an elite football team. And then offensively, this has been a very balanced offense all season long. I mean, there hasn't been a standout runner for this team, but still, you've been able to get good things out of Zeus White. You've been able to get really good things out of James Cook, who's somebody that I circled this season in terms of being an offense that was able to take the extra step forward, and he's been somebody that's been able to be kind of the everything running back for this team. So, you know, there's no reason to believe that this team cannot do this tomorrow because they've shown you that they're built up for this point. And I think if nothing else, it's kind of a coronation, almost kind of like, you know, I was talking with somebody, I said, it's really interesting to see the parallels between this team and the 2019 LSU team. Now, I understand LSU is known for something completely different than this team is, but it's also, too, once LSU beat Alabama, it was kind of like a notice for the rest of the college football world of, oh, okay, this team can really do something. So I think that if Georgia is able to pull this off tomorrow, then it's a, oh, okay, well, this team really is meant to go for the national title.
So has the Georgia defense been vulnerable to the long pass play?
A little bit. But, you know, it's also, too, I think, Lee, that it's also been a team that has been able to make sure that that doesn't happen. They've showed you that even without Adam Anderson on the field, this is a team that can get to the quarterback. I mean, you know, Jordan Davis has been an absolute terror on opposing defenses all season long. If you look at the stat book, whenever you say that, and I didn't even really notice this the other day until Chuck pointed it out, and I looked at it and I said, 24 total tackles. And I looked at Chuck and I said, that can't be right. Like, he's got to have more than that. And it just shows you just how good of a defensive tackle he is, that he is able to factor in, not be somebody that shows up in the stat book. But him, Devontae Wyatt, I mean, this just entire defensive front has been hard on opposing defenses all season long. So I mean, there is a little bit of that. I think that it's probably also, too, you know, Lee and Mark, how we always look at how, you know, teams that were able to have a modicum of success against this defense, we look at what they were able to do. And then I guess Tennessee is one of those games that you look at. But, you know, it's one of those things, too, that, you know, when we were doing score predictions earlier this week on local TV here in Atlanta on a show that I was on, somebody threw out 31-24, and I held up my hands and I said, hold on. Like, what tells you that this Alabama offense, which is very good, but likely going to be without Brian Robinson Jr., is going to score 24 points?
Interesting. I have a question aside from the game. Earlier in the year when Will Muschamp came down to the field, Scott Cochran left, and I had read where Scott is back. Is he visible with the program now? Is he still out there coaching at all, or just what?
Yeah, he's back. You know, he returned about mid-season, but Will Muschamp is still in his on-field role and still very visible with the program. So, no, he came back. I mean, obviously, you know, as we learned a few years ago in 60 Minutes about Nick Saban, we know how impactful Scott can be on the field and in whatever role that he can be with this team. He is back with the team.
Hey, man, it's good to catch up with you. I gotta believe that at the end of the day, Georgia exercises those Alabama demons this weekend. But if they don't, Dan, I mean, this is clearly the best chance they got at doing that. If they don't do it this week, do they do it at all?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I'm with you, Mark. It's almost one of those things, you know, like I talked about 2019 LSU. I mean, it's kind of, you know, to me, I feel like this is kind of like 2005 Texas against Oklahoma. Because remember that, guys? I mean, where it was for the longest time, Mac Brown cannot beat Bob Stoops in Oklahoma. He can't beat Oklahoma. And then they went out there and they beat Oklahoma, and they kind of flipped that thing. So I think if nothing else, if Georgia wants to be able to flip this thing, they need to be able to go out there tomorrow and win this football game. And if they win this football game pretty convincingly, then I think that you're going to have a lot of the talking heads on Monday and on Sunday say, well, maybe Georgia is now the class of the SEC. So if you want to be able to have people talking like that about you, you got to be able to go out there and take care of business. So I said it 27-10, Georgia wins this game. If that comes to fruition tomorrow, then obviously there's going to be a lot of very happy people in this state.
Hey, Dan, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, and we'll be listening to Chuck at 1 o'clock today.
Absolutely. We're going to have a lot of Georgia and Alabama on the show today. Travis Ryer of BamaOnline.com is going to join us. We're also going to have Seth Emerson from The Athletic, who covers Georgia, as well as many other guests on the program today. So we'll have a good show coming your way, and hopefully the listeners on WNSP really enjoy it and get ready for the action tomorrow.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for the time. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Yep. All right, well, Dan Matthews clearly likes Georgia. Let's get you scoreboard, traffic, and weather. We'll do our Miller Lite Golf Report, 8:30. You guys can jump in, give us your predictions. You can give us your favorite, worst Southern accents. You can put Brian Kelly in that group. And, of course, you can give us the keys to the game. And you know, I've already put Saints in the rearview mirror. We've already talked about it enough. I've been nauseous all morning about it. But, you know, you want to talk about that, we can get into that again as well, because it was just a waste of 3 hours last night, quite frankly. All right, rolling along here, Friday edition, the opening kickoff, Mark and Lee, right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hey, this is Coach Tommy Tuberville, and you're listening to 105.5 WNSP.
All right, 8:20.
24, boys and girls. Welcome back in here on hour number three, the opening kickoff. Mark and Lee from the studios of WNSP.
Repeating one of our top stories, Notre Dame Fighting Irish have elevated defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to become the head coach. The 35-year-old defensive coordinator finishing up his first year as defensive coordinator. A lot of the big names in golf doing well at a tournament. I got to find out what's going on, though, from our Miller Lite Golf Report and John Ricchetti. Johnny, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. Doing good. Yeah, big names. I don't know if you want to talk about Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods, but I guess we need to start with Rory McIlroy, who is leading the Hero World Challenge down in the Bahamas, where this benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation. Tiger Woods is the host. 6 under par, 66 for Rory McIlroy, tied along with Berger and Answer also at 6 under par. Brooks Koepka fresh off that victory of the match against Bryson DeChambeau, 5 under par, 67. Justin Thomas also at 5 under par, 67, as 15 of the top 20 players in the world in the field. Limited field, only 20 players in the field. There is no cut. As I mentioned, it is part of Tiger Woods' proceeds to his foundation, and also he is the tournament host. The official money does not count as PGA Tour money, only World Golf rankings. But on that note, obviously the big story, Tiger Woods having his press conference at the Hero World Challenge on Tuesday, talking about his status of where he is and so forth, when we might see him back, kind of admitting that he probably will not ever be back to the player that he once was. Still no indications when he'll return, but he was spotted hitting golf balls on the range in the Bahamas also. So still no word yet whether he'll play with his son in a few weeks, but I do not anticipate Tiger Woods' return to the PGA Tour anytime soon. And on that note, I doubt we'll see him in any full-time capacity moving forward. I think he's accepted it mentally and so forth. So even though the future of Tiger Woods as far as being able to play recreational golf and, again, some events which he'll pick at his choosing, doesn't look too promising that we'll ever see him back to where he is. And I think he admitted it mentally, and he's good to go. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll see how the rest of the weekend turns out in the Bahamas.
Appreciate it, Johnny. Enjoy your weekend. We'll check in with you on Monday during the opening kickoff at Bahamas.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we got a couple minutes. You want to jump in? You can. 694-1055. That is the number in which you can jump in and react. Dan Matthews. I know we're going to give our picks, although we've kind of given our picks. Charlie will chime in, I'm sure, in our next segment, too. But we'll debate this because I'm sure you'll just throw the same reasons you've thrown at me so far. But I don't understand how, based on what we've seen last week from Alabama, how you can pick Alabama to win. Well, that's just not to say they can't win. I'm not suggesting they can't. But based on what we saw with the offensive line against a mediocre Auburn team and the injury sustained and what we've seen from that Georgia defense, go ahead.
All I'm saying, I'm taking Alabama in the 6.5. That means they could lose by 3. They could lose by 4.
But you said earlier today they're going to win out. You picking them to win outright.
I think they have a very good chance to win. I really do. I don't. Hard to pick against the Nick Saban team. And you can call you one about last week, but it showed me that here's a huge underdog like Auburn able to stay with Alabama. Why can't Alabama stay with Georgia?
But nobody, I guess what my point is, and it goes back to what I was saying, though, it doesn't mean they can't win, but I think nobody picked Auburn to win that game. Nobody picked that game to be close.
Right. True. I didn't, and I'm usually wrong. And I was wrong on that game.
So what you're telling me is you're wrong about this weekend, too?
We'll see. We'll see on Monday.
We'll see on Saturday.
Well, we're not going to talk Saturday.
No, we're not.
Definitely not.
No, I mean, we talk 15 hours a week.
And I'm not going to ruin my
weekend. I'm not going to extend that into Saturday.
No.
So much love here.
Yes. By the way, Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs and Nicolas Cage in Con Air appear to be leading in our unofficial poll for worst Southern accents of all time. Brian Kelly, you got some work to do. We come back, we make our picks. Here we go.
It's the opening kickoff.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hill, pass is broken up, and they're going to say this is a pick, intercepted by Curse. Three interception night for this Cowboys team. Another interception, and this is Watkins to the end zone, but a flag is down.
Takes the handoff, middle of the pocket. Now throwing, his arm is hit, that's going to be picked off. His arm is hit, and that is going to be picked off by Dallas. That's going to be DeMonte Casey with the interception.
That's fantastic.
That's nice dedicated work. To you.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, why not just snap the ball and hand it to Dallas?
Did you stay through the all four interceptions?
Yeah, I think it was on. I think I was around for most of it.
You were curious like all of us. I watched the game because I was curious about Taysom Hill. So does he bounce back? Does he... And I don't know how much they're trying to say, you know, the injured finger. I don't know if that's such a big deal. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But still, your first start, two sacks, four interceptions. And if they don't turn the ball over, there's a good chance they win that game.
Yeah, well, the reason I stayed with it longer than I should have is because Dallas isn't very good. Didn't handle the clock real well there towards, I guess, about 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. And they were still within... two scores with the ball, I think, with about 3 minutes left. So if you go down and you get a quick score and get the onside kick, I mean, it's still, while it's a slim chance of actually winning, there was still a legitimate shot of hanging around. So
we didn't expect miracles from Taysom. He had good numbers if you remove, but you can't. But if you take away the four interceptions, I mean, he passed for more than Prescott did, and he rushed for 101 yards. He was a leading rusher in the game.
Yeah, but if you take away the one mop-up play there with Deonte Harrison, he threw for under 200 yards. I mean, that was what, a 10, 15, 18-yard pass that he turned into a 70-yard gain. So if we're going to play that game. Now, it was pretty obvious where his strength was, right? Taysom left. Taysom right, Taysom. See, I thought the guy was going to be exhausted by the end of the game. You go Taysom left, Taysom right, Taysom left, and then all of a sudden you go Taysom right, but he stops and he pops. You might be onto something. But this drop back passing stuff with that decimated offensive line, those injuries on that team with those receivers, it's not working. I can tell you what is working. The Rolling Tigers Booster Club working overtime for Wheelchair Sports at Auburn. The 9th annual Rolling Tigers Booster Club Bash coming up December 15th. There's still tickets available, but there are not many left. You need to call Dr. Mike Rim at 232-4753. That's 232-4753. Or go by Rim Animal Clinic on Hillcrest. It's a great event. They're selling tickets for a $10,000 raffle. But instead of the drawdown this year, they're going to give away up to 10 $1,000 cash prizes. And they're raffling off some great items. They have a signed football from Brian Harsin. They got the basketball from Bruce Pearl, who we talked to yesterday, by the way, on WNSP. And baseball from Butch Thompson. They have a Tim Hudson baseball as well. Alabama fans, they have not left you out. The Najee Harrison, Devontae Smith signed mini helmets are available. They have gift certificates to Briquettes. They have a fishing trip valued at $400 with Captain Abruscato. A lot of great auction items, and all for a great cause. The raffle drawing, December 15th at the Tinderbox Cigar Bar at 7 o'clock that night. You can also Venmo for tickets, Mike Rim, at @rolling_tigers. The tickets are $100 each. The goal is to raise $15,000 for the Rolling Tigers. They've raised more than $120,000 over the life of this Booster Club Bash. So a great event, great cause, great items. Check it out and be a part. I think there's only about 100 tickets left, so you need to act fast.
Let's take a look at some of the games that could be very pertinent to the final College Football Playoff Committee's poll, which comes out on Sunday. I believe they announce it between 11 a.m. Maybe I'm off by an hour or so. But after all is said and done on Saturday, Mark and Charlie, let's start with the Big Ten, which is a Saturday night game at 7. Michigan goes into this game and is 11-point pick over Iowa. Charlie, you want to start?
Charlie, you want to start us off, big guy?
So I'm a big Iowa supporter, always have been. I think they've got a great offensive line. They move the ball really well when they run. They don't put up a lot of points. That being said, I pick Michigan to overpower the Hawkeyes and bring home a big win. I'm actually taking Michigan by 2 scores in this one.
Yeah, so I also have Michigan covering, although the closer we get to that game, the more I feel like Iowa's going to cover that point spread because, like I said earlier today, I think this game – more than the SEC championship game has let down written all over because of all the emotion, everything that went into beating Ohio State. But I'm hoping the gravity of Michigan's situation will negate that. I think Michigan gets in, that Michigan wins. So I'm going to say they cover, but I'm real hesitant on that.
Can you imagine the frustration in Michigan if they lose this game? And that would enable, I guess, I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe Oklahoma State or Ohio State. I don't know. I don't know how that would work out. But if they here's this golden opportunity that they're going to be in the playoffs, and if they let it get by them. But I'm going to go with Michigan. Yeah, maybe they'll have a letdown early, but I still think they'll succeed. All right, another game with implications of that college football playoff, because I am very curious about Cincinnati. And they have a game against Houston. That's like a 3 o'clock game on Saturday. Cincinnati, the Bearcats undefeated, 10.5-point pick, Charlie, over Houston.
I'm going to take Cincinnati in that one. They haven't been putting up a ton of points. They haven't been pulling away from a lot of teams here in the second half of the season, but they consistently find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I have Cincinnati winning this game, but I have Houston covering. This Houston defense can play now, and it's I think they're pretty good against the run. And I don't know if Cincinnati's kind of peeking ahead a little bit. I kind of like Houston to cover this.
I want Cincinnati to win. I think they will, but I don't think by as many as 10.5. I think Houston's going to come out and get off to a good start, but we'll see. But I'll take Houston and the points. All right, so that takes care of two of the main games. Let's go to the Big 12, because lurking there at number 5 is Oklahoma State. So if somebody screws up in the other games, there's a chance Oklahoma State could find their way in to the Final Four. 11 a.m. game on Saturday. Charlie, in the Big 12 game, Oklahoma State's a 5.5-point pick over the Baylor Bears.
I'm a big fan of that Baylor defense. I don't think Mike Gundy and the Cowboys are going to get it done. That's my upset pick for championship weekend. So Baylor over Oklahoma State.
I'm going the other way here. I think Oklahoma State took a little bit of a punch. They were in big trouble against Oklahoma, and I think they responded. The D stepped up. I think they get this done. I think Oklahoma State wins.
I'm with you, Mark, on this one. I like Oklahoma State, and it's going to be very, very intriguing, especially if Georgia beats Alabama, to see if Oklahoma State slips by Alabama. Let's get to that SEC game, or should we take a break and come back and spend time on that? What do you want to do?
You're driving. I'm along for the ride.
All right, let's go to the SEC championship game. Charlie, Alabama is an underdog for the first time since 2015. They were a 6.5-point underdog to the undefeated Georgia Bulldogs.
It's going to depend on if Alabama can get out to an early lead. I think Alabama's got to get at least 10 points ahead of Georgia headed into that fourth quarter, and I think they can do that. Give me Alabama by a field goal.
Wow, Alabama by a field goal. Look at you, Charlie. Yeah, I think Georgia wins this ballgame. I've been saying all along, I think that offensive line is a mess. I think Nick Saban has even come out this week and talked about they're working on as many different combinations as possible. I do believe that they're going to keep this fairly closer and more competitive than some think, but I think at the end of the day, I think not only does Georgia win, Georgia covers. And I think when you look at that offensive line, you look at the fact that Brian Robinson, if he even plays, won't be healthy. If he doesn't, there's one scholarship running back on the roster. I've said this all week. I think Alabama has to go after that Georgia secondary. I think Alabama, more times than not here recently, likes to run some long developing routes, and I think that's going to wind up playing into Georgia's front seven's advantage. With that said, I do think if Alabama brings that type of defense they brought last week against Auburn, I think that's what's going to make it competitive, because I don't know how Georgia's going to react to getting punched in the mouth. But at the end of the day, I think Georgia gets this done and wins the game.
And I'm taking, like I said, I'm going to take Alabama on the points. It wouldn't surprise me if Alabama wins this game. But even if they don't, I still think, I agree with Charlie, it's going to be a very, very close game. So, push comes to shove. Sunday, you have Georgia winning. What's the Final Four going to look like?
I think it's Georgia and Michigan. Cincinnati gets in, and I think Oklahoma State, and I'll be bored to tears. What I would really like is for Alabama to beat Georgia, get them both in, so we have a Michigan SEC matchup in the semifinal. I really want it to be Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Cincinnati, so somebody can blow the doors off Cincinnati and we can be done with that whole debate. That's what I want to happen.
If Alabama does win, do they go ahead of Georgia in the poll? Would they be one and Georgia two?
Yes. I think you have to.
Yeah, so do I.
And then the question becomes, depending on how good or how dominant Michigan is, does Georgia slip to two? If it's a close Alabama win, do they just slip them to two and Michigan actually falls to three? I could see that scenario. And I'd love to get Notre Dame in the mix too, just to see whether or not Brian Kelly being there or not being there would truly impact the college football playoff committee's decision to either keep them in or not keep them in. But I want to see Michigan SEC in round one. I want to see SEC blow the doors off Cincinnati in round one.
Charlie, what's the Final Four going to look like on Sunday?
Oh, man, Lee, now you're putting me in a spot.
What'd you think?
I think Alabama gets the win over Georgia. They jump to number one. I think Michigan moves up. Well, Michigan will stay at number two.
Right.
I think Cincinnati moves to three. I think Georgia falls to four.
Which means they would play Alabama again? No way.
I think if Alabama only wins by a field goal, and it's a great game played by both teams, you cannot keep Georgia out of the Final Four.
There's no way they fall to four.
Now, let me ask this question.
No way they fall to four.
Let's put Alabama, Georgia aside. Do you see any way? I do, and I hope it doesn't happen, that Oklahoma State, with a win, moves ahead of Cincinnati.
Assuming Cincinnati wins?
Assuming Cincinnati wins, right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hate for it to happen, but I certainly could see it happening. The way, the committee, Power 5 team, they'll go to, strength of schedule. They'll talk about stuff like that. It could, in my mind, I'm hoping it doesn't happen. But I'll come in here Monday. I'll be at Wingfingers. It wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think there's any way. If Alabama wins a close one, there's no way Georgia falls all the way to four. Not gonna happen.
I agree with you there. How does Notre Dame get in? You mentioned Notre Dame. How do they get in?
Well, Alabama would have to lose. So
far. Loads up. Looks long. Throws. End zone.
Touchdown.
Alabama. Devontae Smith. Touchdown.
Just inside the 16, quarterback draw, Jalen Hurts, touchdown! Are you kidding me? Alabama leads.
One thing, I don't know why.
Quick throw, picked off, intercepted Chris Phipps, he might have a shot, go to the house, 40, 30, 20, far sideline, they dive, they don't get it, touchdown, pick six, Georgia strikes first.
All right, one final segment. Just a few minutes left in another week of the opening kickoff. Always appreciate you guys being a part of the show. You guys can jump in if you want to give us your prediction for the Alabama-Georgia game. In fact, without permission from Lee, if you want to jump in real quick, give us your name and contact info and give us your prediction. The guy closest to the pen, maybe we'll give a Chick-fil-A gift card. Probably should have been doing that all day. But we got 4 or 5 minutes, so if you want to jump in, you want to get into our unofficial last-minute contest, give it a shot.
Let's remind everybody, 11 o'clock this morning, we'll be carrying the Vigor-Oneata 4A state playoff game. So hopefully for the Vigor Wolves, they'll bring back a state title. And then tonight at 7, Charlie will be on the mic for the Spring Hill Flagler basketball game. Flagler.
What? Breaking news!
One of the top Division II basketball teams around. And then tomorrow, our coverage of Alabama and Georgia on 92.1 gets underway at noontime.
And then we're on the road Monday for the Monday morning quarterback edition of the opening kickoff from Baumhauer's Wing Fingers right there on Cottage Hill across from Walmart, not far from Hillcrest. Come on by and see us. The doors actually open at 6 a.m. You can come into the lobby, have some breakfast, and talk some football with us. And we're talking about how Alabama got beat by Georgia and how they're not in the playoff. And,
yeah. Or if they are, if they're number one, if they beat Georgia. So there is just so much to talk about with the college, because we'll have all the bowl information, all the 13 SEC schools that are going to the bowl games. We'll have the playoff, who's playing one against four, two against three.
All right, Carlton's on the phone, wants to give us his picks. Hey, Carlton, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What do you got for us?
I got a little shout-out to Stephen Root here with Alabama 24, Georgia 21.
All right. So, yeah, we probably should have gotten Root on here. Well, you know what? I'll say this. We might have to get Root on Monday, win or lose, just to get a reaction from him.
He told me he was not going to come back to work ever if Alabama beats them again.
Well, you know what? If he shows up tomorrow or Monday afternoon after an Alabama win, we should not let him in the door. How about that?
That's okay too.
All right, cool.
Now we got to have Root. We can lock Dave out.
Wow. All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Carlton. We'll take that under advisement. So as of right now, Carlton's going to be the winner. Win or lose. Do you have to get the pick right? I said closest to the pen.
It's up to you.
I don't know.
You proposed it. You package it.
Yeah.
You take one of your Chick-fil-A's and give it to him.
It has been 13 minutes since Carlton won something here at WMSB.
Yeah, it really has.
That man's made off our stuff.
Does he have to let the IRS know about all this?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think those Chick-fil-A gift cards are like cash money. That's straight cash.
Well, he wins a lot of other things, or at least he's involved in the sale. And we're glad he is. He's a great listener. Hope everybody's like that. And hope everybody enjoys their weekend. And we can't wait to see what happens tomorrow.
Anonymous user in the app, Bama 32-24.
And you were getting on me for picking Alabama? Come on now.
Well, I mean, you might as well be wearing crimson-colored glasses over there. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Hey, Charlie, have a good weekend.
Hey, Charlie.
Thanks, guys. Lee, I'll see you tomorrow.
Not tonight.
Oh, that's right. You're gonna come out with me.
Yeah, Mark's going to be out there, but in a different...
I'll be a bit further down the road.
100 yards away from us, right?
Yeah, still over watching basketball.
I bet.
All right, you guys have a great weekend. We're back at it Monday at 6 a.m. Until then, see ya!
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.